Well, as I said earlier, this topic is a natural follow-on to the subject of law of attraction, because what we focus on manifests in our life. And if we're unforgiving and angry towards others or ourselves, guess what we get more of? Forgiveness, according to the dictionary definition, is the cessation of resentment against an offender. This offender could be an institution, it could be another person, it could be an event, a catastrophic event, or it could even be ourselves. And Connie asked me to do this talk maybe about 2 months ago. And we practitioners try to do, as we call it, work, eating our own dog food, which is we try to practice what we preach. And at the time, I had just gone through an event in my life. I had been in a relationship with somebody for a couple of years, and he abruptly ended it. And I knew I had a lot of forgiveness work to do, and the thought of having to prepare for a talk on forgiveness was frankly not appealing, because I knew I would have to really dig deep and look at some of the areas where I needed to do some forgiveness, not only of this person, but also of myself. So much of what I will be saying to you today comes from my personal experience. I really believe a lot of this. I really believe in forgiveness. And it's brought a tremendous amount of relief to me to be able to read about forgiveness and to experience a lot of it in my life. In the past month or so, I have had some extraordinary things happen to me that I know were a direct result of letting go, and it's been a wonderful experience. I think one of the reasons that religious science attracts a lot of people that are going through transition in their lives is because of the fact that we teach non-judgment, and we teach that that we are whole and complete in each moment. So we don't need to depend on somebody else dying for our sins, that we never sinned in the first place, and it's simply a matter of coming to understanding ourselves and our relationship to Source. Core Concept 8 in the traditional religious science textbook says that the universe exists in the eternal now, and that each moment is complete and perfect within itself. In this universal harmony, justice without judgment is always automatic, an infallible universal principle. There can be no place for divine anger, unforgiveness, or punishment. And human forgiveness is the process that frees us to live in the eternal now. It's essential that we wholly forgive ourselves and all others before our real spiritual growth can flourish. In his book, Can We Talk to God?, Ernest Holmes says, "I don't believe in hell, the devil, or damnation, in any future state of punishment, or in any of the strange ideas which have been conceived in the minds of morbid people. God doesn't punish people. There is, however, a law of cause and effect which governs all and which will automatically punish impartially and impersonally if we conflict with the principle of harmony." Now, this is what religious science teaches, but I haven't really found like a good methodology. I kind of like, you know, you go through steps A through D, and then you've got it. And so I went out in search of some of these steps. So in gaining understanding, that was my first step, was to look at what other people said about forgiveness. And it doesn't mean ignoring the negative that has happened. It means simply that you gain a holistic understanding of yourself and the situation or the person, that you kind of step above where you were, where you're totally demonizing another person or event. By the way, I'm going to be using person because, you know, as inclusive of ourselves, of events and institutions that you may need to forgive. And how do I know when I have forgiven? I believe that this is a process that can take time, and sometimes you need to go through steps A through D several times, or you may go through it all at once. It's got several phases, and I'm going to describe some of those phases later on. The initial marker is the decision to enter into forgiving. That's when you know you're really on that path. And the goal in forgiveness is to see the other person in a different light, or to wish that person well. And that person will no longer dominate your thoughts with maybe a desire for revenge or whatever. There can be cycles of revenge, forgiveness, starting with deep anger followed by peace over and over again. It just means that there's more to let go of, that you, when you reach one level of understanding, you may need to move to another. So whatever happens in this cyclic process, you need to be gentle with yourself and just remind yourself that it's a process and you're on your way. Forgiveness won't make you forget. And in some cases, you may need to stay away from someone who has been an abuser in your life. That's a safety measure that you may choose. Although, I personally believe that law of attraction brings us to us what we think about. And so, I believe that the more you begin to let go and to view other people and yourselves with compassion, the less this would occur in your life. It doesn't mean being vulnerable again to a person that may have hurt you and may want to hurt you again. And it doesn't mean that you have to reconcile with this person. It just means reaching a place of peace where you can move on. And it may help you to see the situation or person in a different light with more compassion. You may recall happier moments with that person. So it's not all about the pain. It's also about the beautiful moments and the happy moments, the laughter, whatever it was. It's like you're able to rewrite history when you're able to focus on those more positive moments when you were together as opposed to the things that really hurt. I understand that Reverend Trish has a wonderful definition of unforgiveness, and that is, it's like drinking poison and then expecting the other person to die. I think it's important to feel good. And that's why, to me, importance is forgiveness. I feel more connected to Source when I forgive. I know it's good for your health. It's certainly good for your moods. Catherine Ponder has said that a forgiving attitude will raise your capacity for good, and it brings it to life. And forgiving means setting yourself free. If you're not forgiving, it's like carrying a weight around with you. It will color your thoughts. Even if it's not in the forefront of your mind at a given moment, it's like a jack-in-the-box that comes out and surprises you, like just when you thought you'd had it crammed down again. And also, taking it a step further, if your world crumbles because of something happening to you, this groundlessness can be one of the greatest gifts in your life, because it's like an invitation to reinvent yourself. Without the customary ground on which to run away from your life, you can now befriend your suffering unconditionally. Any frantic attempt that you may undertake to fix a painful collapse is a way of running away from that possibility. Now, I feel really well qualified to talk about the subject of forgiveness. I grew up right outside Hartford, Connecticut, and it was a company town. People were either in insurance or they worked for Pratt & Whitney, which manufactured aircraft engines. And everybody, it seemed like, was in a stable relationship. All the parents stayed married forever. People kept their jobs forever. And who am I? I came out as the change queen. And after I went to college, I went to two different schools before I finally graduated, and when I emerged from adolescence, probably close to 30, I'd had several relationships. I ended up taking a job with the Navy, which I've had for over 20 years, and you think I've had a lot of stability there. Well, the truth is that every time I've gotten a little restless in my job, something new has emerged. And I was fortunate to be married for a number of years, but when that ended, I undertook a series of relationships. Feels like I attracted a number of men who were incapable of stability, meaning I was incapable of stability. And so I've had a lot to forgive. I've had a lot to let go in my life. And this has been a rewarding topic for me to look at. And I have learned that there are phases of forgiveness, and I found something that kind of put it into a system called the International Forgiveness Institute. And there are some books that they recommend. You can go out on their website. And I gave you a handout, which should be at your seat, which talks about the phases of forgiveness. And what they did was they did studies of people over the years, and of course they found that people benefited from forgiving, but they also found that people tend to go through four different phases. The first phase is the uncovering phase, which is when the emotional pain of an incident or a person upsetting your relationship has resulted in a very deep and unjust injury, or at least it feels unjust. You may feel angry, you may feel like you want to seek revenge, you may feel numbness, you may feel disbelief. And as you confront this, you may feel a lot of distress. So at this point in time, the most important thing to do is not try to soothe all that pain away, but simply to focus on the things that you need to do to make your life continue, to triage, in other words. Being able to function is, in my opinion, at this phase, the most important thing. And for instance, when my relationship ended, I had just bought a house that we were to live in together. And all of a sudden, I had a whole bunch of new things to get used to. Being in a new neighborhood, I had to figure out all kinds of things that I could survive on my own without needing another person there to help me out. So I needed to figure out how to continue on and at the same time deal with my feelings. So I did spend a lot of time triaging. And as I didn't try to stuff my feelings, I feel that that's pretty, at this phase, it's pretty non-productive. And I told my story a lot. A lot of people got to hear me go through my feelings. And this is hopefully a relatively short phase. The next is the decision phase, or perhaps it's just a milestone in the process. And this is when you kind of get sick of hearing your own story. You wake up one morning and you don't want to feel those feelings anymore, and you decide you're ready to move on. So you make the decision that you're willing to forgive. And you realize that this may bring you relief. So then you make a commitment to forgiving, and it's at that point when you begin to attract whatever it is that you need to help you in this process. I think an important step at this point is to begin to forgo any thoughts or intentions of revenge towards the injurer, unless you're really back in phase one and you're still experiencing anger and you're not really ready to let go. For me, that moment came when I woke one morning and I realized that there really was no point in hanging on to wanting to be in a relationship with somebody who clearly didn't want me in their life, and that there are a lot of people, friends and potential partners, who did want me, and the longer I hung on to something I didn't want and that caused me pain, the sooner I would be able to be open enough to create a vortex to attract new things into my life. So my next phase began, which is the work phase. And I don't really care for that word, which is work, but that's what the Forgiveness Institute calls it. And that's the active phase of forgiveness. You may begin to remember the positive aspects of the person who hurt you to gain a more balanced perspective. And this is not necessarily to absolve the other person of the offense, but simply to gain a better understanding and a more balanced perspective. This may be accompanied by a willingness to experience some empathy for the person that's hurt you and some compassion. And you may begin to offer some kind of goodwill or tentative offers of forgiveness to that person by simply being restrained in what you say to them, and being generous, and perhaps attempting some form of reconciliation. And this is, at this point, like offering a gift to that person. And then the final phase is called the deepening phase. and the individual begins to realize that he or she is gaining an emotional relief from the process of forgiving. And that's when you're on that path and you aren't going to stop. And you know that relief is well on its way. You may gain some insights into the broader context of suffering. And this may come in the realization that you are really ready to move on, and that through this act, you are able to let go of the things that were holding you back in the past, and you're able to move on. This may result in an increased compassion, not only for that other person, but also for yourself. And at this point in time, you may discover a new purpose in life and an act of concern for those around you. So I have found one of the greatest gifts of forgiveness is that I just feel a lot more sensitive to the people around me. And I look at everybody and realize that we all go through the same things in our lives. I've often wondered if it was possible to get to that place of forgiveness without having to go through the first three phases. And I'm not really sure that's possible for most people. But I did talk to a lot of people about how they go through forgiveness, and I think everybody's different. I think we're all learning, and I think that the more you do it, the better you get at it. So I learned that there are some other ideas that may help you in taking this process a step further. It may help move you to step four a little faster. I found a wonderful book that took me to a new place, and it's called The Prospering Power of Love. And it was written by Catherine Ponder, who's well known for some of her books on prosperity. But this is by far one of the most uplifting books I've ever read. And she calls love a many-splinter thing. It's like a splinter that gets stuck in your hand or a thorn of a rose. And when you release or remove the splinter, it's transformed into a splendid thing. And through this removal of the splinter, you're able to expand the love and the releasing process, and you're able to direct your life towards greater good. Catherine Mace also says that Judas betrayed Jesus, and this is representative of closure of an old form of consciousness. These acts of betrayal can be powerful turning points to introduce us once again not only to ourselves, but also to our inner power. And it may be that you've wanted to move forward in your life, but for some reason you've decided not to do so. Those who perform the act of betrayal are actually helping you to nudge forwards. In this context, there's really nothing to forgive because there's absolutely nothing done that has been meant to harm you. And lastly, Abraham says that they would give forgiveness a new definition. We would say that the ultimate way of forgiving is to forget. And the ultimate way of forgetting is by remembering something that you really want to remember, which is step four in the forgiveness process. So in summary, I think that we're set free when we begin to forgive and we expand our capacity to experience more and more good in our lives. And the more the more fully and sooner that we genuinely release, the sooner that we can see the gift in what appeared to be an act a betrayal. So I want to thank everybody.